That took a long time to get through that
weather. It's a book. Yeah. We got a lot going on.
Yeah, and it's going to be so different in different places. Coming up at 5:30, we're going to talk, 5:35, we're going to be talking to Demetrius Ivory, and he's going to take us through all those zones again and try to give us timing on when those different elements are going to be hitting tomorrow, because obviously the trick-or-treating starts for the littler kids a little bit earlier, but it continues into darkness, but it's going to be a snowy darkness tomorrow. Wet, snowy awfulness.
And I would say to people, check your village or city, neighborhood, your website, because a lot of places have changed Halloween trick-or-treating to the weekend just because of the weather, so you may want to just check it out.
Right. And candy will be half off. I've already given you my secrets, my tips on how to really ruin Halloween for the kids.
The key tip is just before the really nasty stuff happens, just ask the people to give you a whole bunch of candy bars, kind of close shop down.
Hey, I thought the Grinch came at Christmas, not Halloween, bro.
Not for me. That's me. All right. Now, did you see this story about an autopsy that was performed on Jeffrey Epstein? It's leading the news today. All of the, whether you look at your phone or picking up on some of the news channels, that Dr. Michael Bodden, who is one of the most esteemed forensic pathologists in the world, called in on all kinds of cases. You may remember his work from, you may remember him from Drew Peterson or the O.J. Simpson trial. He was an expert that was constantly being talked to by the media. He performed an autopsy on Jeffrey Epstein and says that Jeffrey Epstein's injuries are consistent with homicide, not with suicide. Isn't that right, Dr. Michael Bodden?
Hi, good evening. I didn't perform the autopsy. I was present at the time of the autopsy and discussed the findings with the doctor who was doing the autopsy.
Okay. All right.
And that was 80 days ago. And in my opinion, the injuries to the neck are too severe to have been caused by suicidal hanging, that there were fractures to the hyoid bone and the Adam's apple, thyroid cartilage in the neck that do not occur with simple hanging because there's not enough force to cause those fractures.
And you've done 20,000 autopsies you've personally performed. Is that right? I mean, that's
yes.
A number I saw in the New York Times. So you would would understand what bones would typically be broken. In what sorts of percentage of cases would you see bones like this broken?
Well, the highest percentage are in strangulation, homicidal strangulation. That is when somebody squeezes the neck with the hands or strangles a person with a ligature and pulls it very tight. There can be hundreds of pounds of pressure created. In those cases, one often sees fractures and multiple fractures of bones in the neck. In a simple hanging case, the weight of the body isn't enough to cause fractures for most cases, but occasionally there'll be one fracture in the hyoid bone, but not three fractures in two different bones. So that was a concern I had from the beginning at the autopsy, and that was a concern the medical examiner had, because the first death certificate was pending further investigation. They needed more information in order to determine if it was homicide or suicide, and based on the autopsy. But a week later, the medical examiner signed it out as a suicide, and what the family has been trying to do is get the information that they got in those 5 days that changed, that was sufficient to make it a suicide. Because when they made it a suicide, then stopped the investigation. Police don't investigate suicide, but they do investigate cases that require more information, as I think the Epstein case requires.
So what is the theory, if it were a suicide, what is the theory of how he actually did it? I mean, he was in a cell, right? So he doesn't have a whole lot of... There's not a whole lot of room for him to go down.
Bring up.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing is that it so happened he says that somebody attempted to strangle him 18 days before. He had an incident in 7/23, was found on the ground with compression marks around his neck. He said his roommate, who was a multiple murderer, the cellmate, attacked him. The cellmate denies it, and the prison put him on suicide precautions to be watched all the time because that he might commit suicide. Then, when he was put in the new cell, he had another cellmate. That cellmate was taken out to watch him also. It was taken out the day before. And he was alone in the cell. And then it turned out that the guards fell asleep and didn't do their rounds, two guards, and that the videos were disabled. There's a video in the cell to watch the person and in the hallways to see if anybody unauthorized goes into the cell. And both of those were not functioning. So he wound up in a cell without any kind of security at all. And then one of the guards who found him refused to give a statement as to what happened, that there was no he got lawyers. They have lawyers, and there's as far as the family knows, they have been unable to get statements from the guards as to what they found and what happened, because the body was then cut from the ligatures and brought to a hospital, even though it was dead and should have been left at the scene. So there's a lot of questions can't be answered. He said, or somebody, allegedly, that he was found kneeling. The guard said he found him kneeling on the floor with his head, neck lying in the noose. Now, that can cause death if there's it's tight enough to cause a collapse of the carotid arteries, but not tight enough to cause any fracture.
Because would he have jumped in any way? I mean, there's nothing really to jump off of that would be
that's
high,
right.
High enough.
Bunk bed.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the bunk bed was filled with clutter. The other cellmate was not there, but it had all kinds of clutter on it that was not disturbed. And ligature was tied to the strut that goes from the lower bunk to the upper bunk. So it was tied in the middle of that strut. He didn't jump off the bed. The body was cut from the noose. And it's not clear to the family what happened to it, because the FBI, it was a federal case, should have been doing swabs of the ligature that was made from sheets, torn sheets, mm-hmm. That had would have the DNA on whoever was handling and created
and
that
so,
ligature.
Dr. Bodden, those sheets have disappeared too?
Well, it's not clear, because the family's been trying to find out whose DNA was on those on the ligature, the torn sheets, mm-hmm. and the family can't determine and they can't find out whether it was left at the scene or discarded, or whether the FBI has it. Because if the FBI has it, they could have done the DNA testing, and in 24 hours they would have known who handled the ligature, and they can't get any information. It's interesting because the Attorney General, which was, is investigating the security, because they realized there was severe lapses in the security.
Right.
But not clear whether they're investigating the cause and manner of death, which is why the brother asked me to give my opinion publicly this morning, because he thought the investigation had stopped when the medical examiner said it was suicide. And not done the investigation.
Dr. Bodden, you mentioned something earlier that the original pathologist who conducted the autopsy said that it was sort of a matter of death was pending. And I remember when that news hit, we all thought, well, why would it be pending? That's so strange. And
that's
then
right.
Eventually it became out that it was suicide. And you're saying that something in those 5 days may have occurred, some new evidence may have come forward that changed her mind. But wouldn't you be entitled to that as a member representing the family?
Absolutely. Well, the family would be entitled to it, especially since it's not a homicide. You know, if it's a homicide, they say, well, the district attorney may not want us to tell you this right away. But here, if it's closed as a suicide, the family is entitled to everything. And the reason they asked me to go public is because they feel they've been getting a runaround and they can't get the information. And they're hoping that by presenting some of these problems, there'll be more pressure to at least finish the investigation. And comes out that it was suicide, fine. If it comes out it was homicide, it's very important. I think just from the finding, the autopsy findings, and all the different convenient lapses, this really has to be further investigated. And one of the problems, incidentally, is, you see, and New York City would go into any jail in New York City except for the federal jail. The federal jail investigation is done by the FBI, not by the city police.
We should put this in context, Dr. Bodden, because I think that people hear Jeffrey Epstein, remember, he's a convicted sex offender, and there was a woman, one of his young victims, no longer, I think a woman now in her 30s or late 20s, who said that she was prepared to testify against him in the upcoming trial, and she also had knowledge of many prominent men connected to Jeffrey Epstein, who also abused underage women in politics, finance, science, academics, and philanthropy. So a lot of interest, and his little black book, his so-called little black book, had links to those numbers of men in those areas. So people were very interested in seeing justice served here in this case.
Absolutely. Well, the brother is concerned. The brother had nothing to do with Jeffrey's interest in financial things. They hadn't seen each other for about 7 years. But the brother is concerned that if it's a homicide, and if it's a homicide because that somebody was concerned about what information he would give up on other people, then there may be other people at risk, including him, because if somebody killed Jeffrey, they might be to silence him. They might also think that he had knowledge, which he doesn't have. So he's concerned that there are other people at risk.
So he wants
Jeffrey
attention.
Murdered.
All right. Well, Dr. Bodden,
He wants it solved.
I know you're in heavy demand today, so thank you for spending the time with us. Really appreciate it.
Dr. Michael, thank you, guys. And I'm sorry that your weather isn't any better.
Yeah.
Man, it's bad. It's bad. Thank you, Doctor.
Bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
This story, I think, is now going to take another turn.
Why do you think that?
Because he's coming out. There's going to have to be an explanation. What was... You just asked it. You just hit on the question.
What happened in those 5 days that changed the opinion of the pathologist?
Right.
What happened? And there may be new evidence that came forward. Maybe there was a witness who came forward. I don't know. But the fact that you don't have the video cameras, that the guards were sleeping at the time, that all of the procedures that were supposed to happen that would tell you the truth here were not there, were not present. And then his body was supposedly rushed out, according to Dr. Bodden, didn't preserve that evidence either. So there's just a number of things here that could come to light and just put it to bed once and for all.
Let's check in with Lauren Lapko. What's happening on the roadways?